So let's have a prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be together and just to open the word tonight, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is it's very living for us, and it's Lord, it's very good for us, and it's designed to feed us and to build us up, Lord. And that's why we're here, because we know the power of your word, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, you would continue to do great things in our midst. And Lord, we pray that you would really bless our weekend coming. We pray for the for Bible school on Saturday, Lord, and service on Sunday. Lord, we just pray for Georgie coming to visit Mishu and Cosmina. Please, Lord, give her real encouragement, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we pray for Adi, that you would be with him, Lord, and really completely heal him. And Lord, I pray that George would find a job, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that we can come to you and be loved by you, Lord. So bless this time together, Lord. Just open our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen. You know, it was such a great service on Sunday. I think it was really good to hear the men. You know, it was incredible blessing for me to hear Sergio and Demis. It's really, I just so thankful that God is in our midst and for the amazing depth we have. And you know, for Dani's word, Jonas, and you know, all the others, it was just such a blessing for us. And there is so much that we can talk about the cross and resurrection. But there's something a little different that I want to share tonight, and I hope that you'll be blessed with it. Because I want to speak about Christ as the Son of Man and as the Son of God, and that it would be clear in our minds and in our hearts what you know the Bible is telling us about these amazing titles that the Lord has, and what they specifically mean for us. And you know, it's a good subject. I thought that maybe I would teach about it in Bible school on Saturday, but I think that this is a great opportunity as well to talk about this, and that we would see what the difference between the two are. The Son of Man. And you know, Jesus referred to himself most often in the Gospels as the Son of Man. And The question we want to ask is why? Why was it that he didn't refer to himself as the Son of God when he was teaching and interacting with people? This is great for us to think about. I want to start by thinking of two battles, two amazing battles that Christ fought before the cross. The first was in the wilderness, and when the Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This was the battle as the Son of God. So it was, as we can see in the temptations, it was the proof of his deity and who he was as sent by the Father. And that determined the nature of the temptation that Satan sent. And the second battle was in Gethsemane. And this was the opposite. This was the battle as the Son of Man. And it was an intense temptation in that garden to destroy his humanity and actually to kill the Lord before the cross. Both of these aspects are very important for us to consider, because the cross is clearly a triumph for Jesus as the Son of Man. And we need to see this, that it was in his humanity that the Lord was taken, and in his humanity he took our place there on the cross. And as a representative of the human race, the Lord, or the Father, placed all our sins on Christ. Now, we understand from what we have taught before in Bible school, this unique and indivisible connection between the humanity and the divinity of Christ. They cannot be separated. And that is, not what we are trying to do or say or anything like that. The two natures are indivisibly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always he was God, and he became man at the incarnation. And this is the first point that I want to make, that he was the Son of God from eternity past. So he has always been the Son of God. But he became the Son of Man at the incarnation. And for all of eternity future, he will be also the Son of Man. He will be the glorified man, the new Adam. And therefore, what happened at the cross was the Lord fulfilling this this amazing work that the Father had given to redeem mankind as one of us, as a man. And that's why he came, as a man. That's why the incarnation happened, was that God would be one of us, would take on the human form, and would be able to bear our sins and iniquities. So this is very, very important for us to understand. And when he was there hanging on the cross, and there were, there was much mocking and people telling him to come down from the cross. What do we see there? We see the incredible temptation for Christ to use the attributes of his divinity to leave the cross, whereas he did not. He had set his face, because this was his calling as a man. It was to go to the cross and to bear our sins. So this is a very important point of theology that it's good for us to understand. And while he was in Gethsemane, this was what he feared, is that as a man, he would not be able to face this incredible attack from the enemy through the atmosphere that was taking his life away. But he was sustained by the angels so that he could go through that and go to the cross. So, what we see throughout the Gospels is this amazing revelation of the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was man, how he thirsted, how he was weak, he was weary, he needed sleep, and at the same time, he was fully God, and he knew every thought that man was thinking and the intentions of their hearts. So this is a really beautiful thought for us tonight. And I'd like you to turn first to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we want to read here a passage. And let's start in verse 45. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. This subject, we say, and we, of course, this is something that is so beyond our natural understanding. But we're amazed, because the Bible reveals to us what God's intention was and what his plan was. And therefore, we are able to speak about these things because the Bible reveals them to us. And here in verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And the Lord Jesus is this last Adam. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, soulish, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And that is a most incredible revelation by the Holy Spirit. That, everything that we know of Christ, everything that we read about the Lord as in his resurrected body, we will partake of that. And that is a firm promise of God. And, we know it's true because God raised Christ from the dead. That is so wonderful for us that it's not, it's not a question mark for us. It's not a doubt or some kind of theological principle. I love how Paul puts it here. It's like the promise is so sure, it is so firm that just as we are, we are natural men, we have bodies of flesh and blood, we will have spiritual bodies like Christ. So this is like truly amazing, the implication of the resurrection of Christ. And we really can rejoice in this. And how he says in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So to be like Christ is not a question, neither is it an option. It is a reality for all of us that have received Christ because of the resurrection. And isn't that an encouraging thing, amazing truth for us? That, this new, this last Adam, this perfect man who incarnated, who came into a body in Bethlehem, and then walked for these 30, 33 years here on the earth and was subjected to all the limitations that we are subject to. He rose from the dead and received this glorified body in the resurrection. And so will we. So that's why we are, he is the first fruit of the resurrection, and we with him. How amazing that is. And Paul continues here in verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Hallelujah. What a promise. Amazing. That's God's plan for us. That will never be it will never be modified or dependent on anything that we do or don't do. This is God's plan. So in John 1 verse 18, and of course we spoke about this in the Bible school, but it's good to be reminded. And here God is setting out the plan, the eternal plan. And He says in verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, or he has revealed him. He is the exposition. He is the visible revelation of the Father to us. And that's why the Lord said, you know, to the question, you know, show us the Father. And he says, have I been with you so long? So the Christ, who is the visible form of the Godhead, will be that for all of eternity for us. But as the God-man, the perfect hypostatic union, as if you remember that word, technical word that is used for the connection, the unique joining of the humanity and the deity in Jesus Christ. So it's incredible. Now, there are also two other words, two other names that Jesus has that we find in the Bible. And we see that he is called the Son of David. And his title, Son of David, is his Jewish title. So he is the Son of David because he is the eternal king of the Jews. So Son of David. But also he has another very interesting title, and this is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he's not only the son of David, but he is also the son of Abraham. And why is he the son of Abraham? It's because Jesus is the fulfillment of all the prophecies that were given to Abraham. And especially what we see in Matthew 28, when the blessing of Christ goes to the whole world. So in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, which is the Great Commission. And note, this is in the book of Matthew, and Matthew's message is specifically a Jewish message, and it is Jesus as the king. And what we see here at the end of the Matthew is this fulfillment as the son of Abraham. And in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So here is the true fulfillment of the lineage of Abraham, is that the world is blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he has these two sonships, the son of David and the son of Abraham. So I want to give you some more verses that we could go through tonight. So in Genesis 12, verse 3, and here is the promise that God gave to Abraham or to Abram in verse 2. So Genesis 12, verse 2. And he says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse thee. And in you will all the families of the earth be blessed. And that is through Christ. So we see here the connection. In Psalm 8, and we know this from our messianic class, how this psalm is a beautiful foretelling or looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visitest him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." So this is looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. But also to us in him as well. So it's a amazing prophecy about the Messiah. And also when it says you have made him a little lower than the angels, this plan that God had, and you know, we see this amazing plan to defeat the enemy, to defeat the devil through the creation of man, who was lower than the angels. Not someone, not a race of beings, not a creation that is higher than the angels or the demons, but lower, and that God would have the victory through their weakness and the weakness of the cross. And this was God's amazing plan from before the foundation of the world. So here we see a little glimpse of it, that God, that man's creation was not some isolated event that, you know, somehow he was the pinnacle of a creation with then the angels higher up, but it was on purpose by God that man would have this power over the angels after the victory of the cross. So this is amazing. And then in Psalm 80, in verse 17, again, a messianic psalm. Verse 17. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom you made strong for yourself. Isaiah 7, a verse that is familiar to us. 7 verse 14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In chapter 9, Isaiah 9, verse 6. And note these two greetings here. It's first of all, for unto us a child is born. That's the humanity of Christ. That's the Son of Man. And then, secondly, unto us a son is given, and that is the Son of God. That's his deity. Very, very interesting that we see these two aspects here in this one verse. And then with the other titles that we know, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we see the plan of God, incredible plan. In Zechariah chapter 13, Zechariah 13 and verse 7. This is just after the verse that we spoke on Sunday. And it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Amazing. What a picture that is of God's eternal plan. And it's God here commanding a sword against his shepherd. That's an amazing picture that is here. This whole verse is quite incredible. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Wow. And it will come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts will be cut off and die, but the third will be left. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they will call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And that latter part is speaking about the tribulation period when, this remnant, the word that we have heard very often, but it speaks about this group of Jews who will turn to the Lord. And it's, the Lord says it's a third of the population will turn to the Lord and will see Jesus as their Messiah. So I hope that this is, clarifying for you, for us all, that the role that the Lord had as the Son of Man was hugely important. He had to be as one of us. He had to be this lamb that was tested and tried before it could be a sacrifice. And he had to be taking part of our nature, the human nature, yet without sin. And this is beautifully described to us, as we know, in Philippians chapter 2. And we always come back to this chapter because it is a total divine revelation of God's eternal plan. And we see in verse 7 of chapter 2, it says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. This is God's, it wasn't an accident. You know, the cross happened as the God's perfect timing, and it was to bring this connection with man, and being God at the same time. So he could not redeem us without being both man and God. So this connection is totally vital for us. We would not be saved without it. And that's why, you know, it's something that every believer should know and understand. So when we see the title of Christ as the Son of Man, it's not that he has, you know, he is, you know, divided. He has left behind his divinity. No, that's not his plan. But as a man, he went through all these temptations and life and lived perfectly so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us. And that's why in verse 8 it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was because he was a man. And that humility brought then his exaltation in verse 9 and in verse 10, every knee bowing to him. And the authority that comes with that for all of eternity. So that's the story tonight, and it's very beautiful. So does anybody have any questions or comments? You know, please go ahead. I hope what I've described is understood or grasped, but you know, don't feel embarrassed if you haven't. We're